You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Morena e te whānau, you're on the 95BFM breakfast show. My name's Rachel. On the line, we've got Deputy Mayor of Tāmaki Makaurau, Desley Simpson. Kia ora, Desley. How are you this morning?
Morena. Good morning, Rachel.
Nice to chat with you today. We're going to talk a bit more about the budget. Obviously, it's the last week for the public to make submissions on the Auckland Council's proposed budget. And we've seen quite a lot of community responses come out in the last couple of weeks about this. There's various groups that have formed with different templates for people to follow. There's specifically folks who are concerned about arts cuts. There's a group called A Better Budget for Auckland who's even created an alternative budget to the council's one, and I'm quite interested in what they've been talking about. One of the things that is a key part of what they're saying is that the fiscal crisis is overstated and mischaracterised by council. What would you say to that, Desley?
Oh, I'm not sure that's the case. Look, the information that we have is that we have a fiscal hole to fill of $295 million, and that's a tough one because we have to balance a budget. So the first thing we have to do is actually fill that gap. And having been on a bit of a cost-saving regime over the last term, thanks to COVID, the way of finding savings to meet that deficit has become harder and harder. But I suppose what you're saying is really great. I mean, I'm thrilled that Aucklanders are coming up with alternative ideas and maybe pushing back on some things in the budget. That's what consultation is all about. This is not a rubber stamp process. This is what we're going to do.
Okay.
And I've said right from the word go, I'm not happy about everything in the budget myself, actually. But it's just what consultation is. It's really important for Aucklanders to have their say. And they have, Rachel.
Yes.
We've had the biggest response to this budget in recent years, except for, I think the only outlier one was that emergency budget where we lost pretty much all our income overnight thanks to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as of midnight on Sunday, which is the latest information I've got, we had over 10,000 submissions.
That
continues to track at more than twice what we've received at the same point at last year's budget.
That is fantastic to hear. Before we get too far down that track, though, I don't want to move quickly off this conversation about the fiscal crisis and potentially it being overstated. Mm. There's other people who are also arguing this. Bernard Hickey, very well-respected economist, is also not sure about how those numbers stack up, or perhaps also how the crisis is being characterised. Particularly, there's a conversation to be had about whether the council was looking at the possibility of going into more debt or borrowing more money in order to deal with some of these problems. Now, this is something we've talked a little bit about with you, Desley, but have you got any more thoughts about that at the moment? Because that's something that we're seeing a lot of these community groups arguing for. Instead of cutting a lot of funding to really key services, why aren't we looking at borrowing as a city?
Well, we are. We are proposing to slightly increase our use of debt, in fact, up by $75 million. And so that is actually already...
But there's an argument that could be blown up to quite a significant number greater than that, and that be something that's pretty normal for a major city council to do in a crisis.
Well, as I said, we have planned to increase our borrowing, but the other thing looming on the horizon for us is the extra funding needed for CRL. So we will need to find the capacity for that and make sure that the decisions that we make for 1 year don't hinder us for next year.
This is perhaps an argument that could be turned right back on the budget that we're currently seeing at the moment, though. Isn't this very short-term thinking that could potentially affect generations of Aucklanders?
Well, I think that's a very good point. It's very, very important for me not to make decisions this year that actually do affect generations of New Zealanders. So, look, there are a number of options out there. You know, I'm hearing, I've been to a number of Have Your Say events, and I'm hearing a number of people, they don't want cuts to, certain aspects of the budget. And I also sort of have drawn attention to people that we pear-shaped, for want of a better word, or that's not a very good term, but if rates was the answer, and I'm not saying rates is the answer, because I'm very conscious that, you know, the householder has inflationary expenses of their own from food,
pensions. But why aren't we talking about rates? Because we're seeing other councils around the country, you know, we've got people who are all across Aotearoa dealing with inflation and the cost of living and all those things that we know that hurt our wallets, but we are seeing other city councils look at more significant rates increases. Why is Auckland Council not touching that?
Well, you know, the mayor has put through his budget, right? But there is also information available as to what would the rates rise look like if some of those things weren't cut. So 1% of rates is about $20 million, all right? Now, currently, the budget has a 7% rates rise, which gross, which nets down to 4.66, because we're cutting the natural environment targeted rate. Well, the proposal is to cut the natural environment targeted rate and the water quality targeted rate by 2/3, although not touching the work program. So we don't need to raise that money from Aucklanders because we've got enough to spend it on the work program for the year. Now, that has a $150 extra rate increase on top of a CS rate. But if you went right up to, say, 10% rates rise, which would net down to 7.22% with that cut to those two targeted rates, that is, for the average Aucklander, an increase of $238.
Costs.
Now, that pretty much gives you $60 million more.
Yeah. So, I just don't want to go too far down this road too quickly here, Desley, because there's a lot to talk about here. One of the things that we were touching on briefly before is how fantastic it is that we've got so many people who've already submitted feedback on this.
Mm-hmm.
There is still a lot of concern, and we're seeing it in the media and we're seeing it in the public discussion, that this is too short of a turnaround for such a significant budget. Is the council considering what that might mean for this budget feedback session at the moment? The sort of consultation process that we're in, is that something that's being considered at all? We've only had since December the draft of this budget put on the table, and this is some really significant changes that are going to be happening to the city if it comes through.
Look, that's the process that we have traditionally used, nearly always used. The budget comes out before Christmas, we have a month-long consultation, we work through the results of that consultation. We discuss it as a council team, we get local board feedback. Looking at their local board area feedback, and then regionally, we work as a team, and we have to have a balanced budget in place, by the end of this year.
But for something with this, this is true. I totally understand that this is the process. But for something of this scale, do you think it's fair to Aucklanders the time frame that's been expected for them to wrap their head around the potential losses for city infrastructure and community programs?
Look, I appreciate it is big, but it's the same process we used when we had the emergency budget, and that was even a tighter process because we started a budget process before Christmas and all of a sudden we had COVID. So, look, it is what it is, but I would encourage Aucklanders to have their say, because this budget does have significant change in it, and we as councillors and the mayor and the local boards will be reading all those submissions and listening carefully to what people have to say, because there are a number of levers to pull. We have debt, we have rates, we have the airport shares, and so we will be able to, based on what people say, we'll be able to look at all those levers and come up with a result that is a balanced budget.
we're going through, obviously, this is obviously a very stressful time, you can imagine, for a lot of people working in these services, these council positions that are potentially on the chopping block at the moment. And I just wanted to ask your thoughts about what we've seen this week from Mayor Wayne Brown, talking about, I think it was almost an offhand comment in an RNZ interview about how librarians could be replaced with volunteers. Now, the Public Service Association, the union, PSA, has said that this is insulting and ill-informed. We've seen a lot of librarians online pushing back against this. These are services that are really potentially going to face some big losses here. Is this not an inappropriate way for the mayor to be speaking?
I'm not going to comment on what the mayors say, but I will talk to you about our libraries because I think the trend in libraries is changing. We have 56 libraries across the region, and they have been probably one of the biggest successes since amalgamation because it's given people right across the region access to all our collections, all our books. They can order something that's in Rodney and end up by getting it delivered to Franklin. So they're fantastic, and we have a dedicated group of professionals that work across our service, and they are great. All our librarians have to complete an undergraduate or postgraduate degree in library and information studies to be qualified, and they have ongoing professional development. They are a wonderful resource, our library staff. They really are. But our visits have dropped at two libraries. I mean, and there are a variety of libraries.
Okay, well, we have just gone through, COVID. There's been libraries have been closed for significant periods of time. Has that been factored into that at all?
Oh, yes. So what I'm saying, let me just take you through some facts. So the visits have dropped probably over the last five years. Visits have dropped from about 11 million to...
We are running out of time, Desley, so we are just going to have to wrap up this morning. But I do. Let's maybe come back to this one next week and have a bit more of a focused conversation.
Our library resources are a combination of fantastic paid professionals and fantastic volunteers, and they complement each other. And, for example, can I just tell you, we have 117 volunteers. We served just under 500 households last year. And what they do is they have a delivery service catered to people who are unable to visit a library due to mobile access or, other special circumstances. And they collect the books or resources that those people want and deliver them to those people who cannot visit. That's a fantastic service.
That is a fantastic service. Look, let's come back to this next week, Desley, when we can have a proper conversation about it. But I am just curious about the Mayor's comments this week and how it's been sitting. So we'll get some feedback from our listeners and we'll have a proper kōrero about it next week. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Desley Simpson.
No
great
problem.
To have you on the show. Ka kite.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.